Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. It's St. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 43a. The reading can be found on the bottom of page 69 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days, no one told any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground with convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded with the greatness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When I was younger, I used to go out on what were called lay witness missions. This was a chance to go out and to share with others your faith in Jesus Christ. I always looked forward to those weekends. They were great to get away, to tell others about how Jesus Christ had touched and changed your life. It was exciting and it was invigorating, and I look forward to it. I went on several. One fall, we did around 5 or 6 weekends. And you would travel to different parts of the mid-Atlantic states. I think I went as far north as New York State. One thing I didn't like about lay witness missions was Sunday afternoon. You see, Sunday afternoon was when you piled in the car and you came back home. So Sunday afternoon, my mind began to think about things. Like the test I had tomorrow I hadn't studied for yet. Or the paper that was due Wednesday I hadn't started to write. Or the chapters I had to read before tomorrow's class. Or maybe even the work I had to go back to the next day. I loved being on that mountaintop, and I didn't like coming down. But we all know about that, don't we? Because we've all been on mountaintops. How many of you have ever gone on a vacation? Going someplace you really enjoyed? Weren't you so excited on the last day that you got to go back home? Didn't that just make you so happy? To think that I get to go home, and you know that problem we had with the water heater before I left? I got to take care of it now. Or to know I've got to go back home, and you know that project at work that I've been putting off? I can't put it off any longer. We could go on and on, naming all the ways that coming back from our mountaintops can be pretty difficult. I remember about 20 years ago, maybe 25 now, I was serving in a church and we were making some changes in worship. And we were singing some hymns that a lot of the people didn't know. And we were beginning to show variety in the ways that we observed the Lord's Supper. And there were people that didn't like it. One of the comments I heard a lot was, you know, the world we live in is changing all the time. And it really would be nice to just be able to come to church and not have to deal with any change and let things stay the way they've always been. For those people that felt that way, church was a mountaintop. Because the reality is, when you're on the mountaintop, you just bask in the joy of what you're doing. And you don't worry about changing it. And you don't worry about doing anything different. You just enjoy. Peter had met with Jesus and his disciples. They had all been together about a little over a week before. They were gathered around a fire at Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asked this question, who do people say that I am? Oh, some say you're Moses, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead, Master. Okay, so who do you say that I am? There was silence until Peter spoke up and said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, that's brilliant, and it's not something you came up with on your own. The Holy Spirit inspired you. Peter was on a mountaintop. Not too long after that, Jesus told them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. To which Peter responded, don't worry, Jesus. We won't let it happen to you. We'll defend you. To which Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Peter suddenly came back down to earth, didn't he? 8 days pass and they go up onto this mountaintop. And when they get there, something amazing happens. Jesus is now robed in dazzling white. It's not the same Jesus they had seen going up that mountain. This Jesus is a glimpse of the risen Christ. His radiance just fills the air. They absorb it, they take it in, and then suddenly, even more amazing, there's Moses and there's Elijah, and Jesus and Moses and Elijah are talking, and they're swept away in this. And then suddenly Moses and Elijah look like they're going to leave, and Peter doesn't want that to happen. So he blurts out, Jesus, I got a brainstorm here. So now hang in there with me, I got this idea. We are going to get the materials, and we are going to build 3 tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. They don't need to leave. We don't need to go back down into that old valley and deal with all those issues down there. We can live here forever and ever. It's kind of like, I don't want to go home from this lay witness mission. I just want to stay here on the mountaintop. Or, can't we just stay a few more days? Does vacation have to end now? Or I just want to sing the hymns I know. I just want to come here and enjoy the type of worship I enjoy. I don't want to deal with anything new or different. It's also kind of like, we don't want to deal with the issue of homosexuality. We just want to keep everything the way it is right now. We don't want to include them. We want church to be what it's always been for us, where we don't have to deal with these issues. We don't want to talk about politics. We don't want to talk about any of those things. As I've thought about it this week, that's what General Conference said on Tuesday. They basically said, we want to keep everything right the way it is so we can be comfortable and happy and content and not worry about those people. But look look at that scripture. Jesus doesn't stay on the mountain, does he? He comes down. And when Jesus comes off the mountaintop, what happens? A father comes up to him and says, look, my son is possessed by a demon. It convulses him. He shrieks out. He foams at the mouth. He just can't get rid of this. I ask your disciples to try and get rid of this demon, and they had no idea how to do it. Jesus, I need you. I need you now. You see, when we're on the mountaintop, it feels really good. But ministry really doesn't happen there, does it? The truth is, ministry happens in the valleys. Had Jesus followed the guidance and the advice of Peter, that little boy would have been tormented by that demon until the day that he died. You see, folks, as much as we might want to stay on the mountaintop, we can't do it. Because it's down in the valley where ministry happens. It's down in the valley where the demons are cast out. It's down in the valley where we do the hard work of welcoming everybody and excluding nobody. It's down in the valley where we get to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ who maybe don't know it. That's why it's so important to live our lives in such a way that the world around us sees the Christ within us, because we live in the valley. And I want to tell you a little secret. The valley is not in this building. Too many times people in the church just want to go and they want to gather in their own little homogeneous community, and they don't want to think about what's going on right outside their doors. I'm proud to say I'm pastor of a congregation that doesn't feel that way. I'm proud to say that on Wednesday nights, those doors are opened, and people who are struggling to make ends meet, people who haven't had a warm meal in a few days, people who are not sure what tomorrow's going to look like, are able to come here and get a warm meal. That's why I go on volunteers and mission trips. I said it 9:30, and I will say it again. Joy Payne knows this. From the time we get close to Vim until the day Vim's over, I'm going to grumble about the sleeping arrangements. It is a promise. It is not my favorite time. But when I look into the eyes of the faces that we help, when I hear people like the woman we helped last summer tell me about her dream of catching the winning touchdown pass from Ben Roethlisberger, part of me ached, but I was happy for her. That's where ministry happens. And it's why I go. And yeah, I'll grumble and I'll complain, but I will be there. And I will be celebrating what God is doing. Folks, ministry happens in the valley. And you and I are called to be ministers of the gospel, to share this good news wherever we go and whatever we do. Last week, on Tuesday, the General Conference of the United Methodist Church handed down its decision. That decision has tormented, for lack of a better word, all week. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to respond. But I will tell you that when I met with our Futures Committee yesterday that's planning the path forward for Grace Church, I was lifted up. They inspired me. They help me focus a little bit more clearly. And I can tell you that I want to say a special thanks to them and Ann Payne, who helped bring this all together in my mind with some of the comments she made. I shared this at 8:15 and 9:30. Before this service, I posted it on Facebook, on my page and on the church's page. So this is my response to what happened on Tuesday. This past Tuesday, the General Conference of the United Methodist Church voted to uphold and strengthen its ban on the ordination of homosexuals and clergy officiating at same-sex marriages. It voted to keep the language in the Book of Discipline that states homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. That decision is now going to the Judicial Council, the Supreme Court of the United Methodist Church, to determine what is legal within the parameters of the United Methodist Constitution. We will not know until late April what the official position of the church will be. However, this decision has caused many great pain. In strengthening its stand against a specific group of people, the church, whether intentional or not, has placed a limit on God's unlimited love. So how do I respond? How do we respond? I will simply share my hope for the church, my view of what the church should look like, what the church should be. The church is a place where all God's children are welcomed and loved. You are welcomed and loved regardless of whether you are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or straight. You are welcomed and loved no matter what gender you identify with. You are welcomed and loved regardless of whether you are poor or rich, own a home or live on the streets, regardless of your race, regardless of your gender. In God's family, there are no limitations. There are no boundaries. There are no barriers. God's love welcomes, embraces, and includes everyone. Amen.